I was a student, we planned to spend the summer, my mate and I, in the south of France. And we were going to hitchhike, but at the last minute, we found coach tickets for £15 that would get us from London Victoria to Nice. It's 15 quid to get from London Victoria to Nice. We thought it was great. So we caught the train up to London bus at the Victoria bus station, and there was this absolutely pristine, brand new Volvo coach. And we couldn't believe that we got the last two seats on it for 15 quid each. It was great. But as you know, Victoria bus station is a really tight bus station, and the two drivers, because one of them had the sleeping compartment under the chassis, all of that stuff. So one driver started to back up the other driver as he very, very tentatively drove out of this very tight space in London Victoria bus station in this brand new Volvo. And as we were all queuing there with our bags ready for this adventure of the summer, and he's going back, and at this point, a young lady wearing an extremely short skirt walked past. Steady yourself, Eddie. Okay. walked past like this, and the bus driver literally did this: back, and then there was this almighty crash, and the bus went straight into a brick wall. To which he said, "Stop," which was by then way too late. We were delayed for 6 hours because we had to wait for another bus because this was undrivable after this particular thing. Always amused me. Distraction. When something really matters, distraction is our downfall. In a car, distraction kills people. When something really matters, distraction is deadly serious. So for a few moments, I want to talk to you this morning about distraction. I want to give distraction our full attention for a few moments, to concentrate on it and think carefully about it. But why at Caden's dedication and at Keith's baptism are we going to think about distraction? Well, I hope that that will become clear as long as you don't get distracted. Now, just imagine, for argument's sake, just come with me for a moment, humour me. Just imagine that there is a God and that he created everything. That he made us, that he knows us, that he loves us and he wants us to know him too. Play with that idea in your mind for a moment. Just imagine that the God the Bible describes actually exists. Imagine that there is a God like that, and just imagine that that God is always present. That he's not up there, and he's not somewhere out there, but he is here, somehow present, in another dimension that people have called the spiritual realm, but present here all the same. Imagine that there's a God like that, and just imagine that it was possible in our physical world to become aware of God's presence, that this God had made a way for that because he wants relationship with us. Just imagine that the God of the Bible exists and that he can be known, and that all you have to do is to be still and quiet and attentive and looking and listening for rumors of another world. That to go online to this God just requires stillness and silence. Imagine that there's a God like that. A God who says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." So here's where distraction comes in. If that God existed and that God was real and that way of stilled, quiet attentiveness was all that it took to start to become aware of this God, what would a world look like that was hostile to that God?
What would a world look like that was resistant to his overtures for knowing him? Imagine what a hostile world to a God was who said, "Be still and know that I am God." It would look like a world of distraction, of competing images and sounds and ambitions and activities, which never left you alone and invaded and bombarded your conscious and your subconscious mind all the time, with other reasons for living than knowing God, other ways of being happy than knowing God, which would drown out the whisper of the Maker's advances. It would be a 24/7 media saturated, always on world. It would be a world designed to stop people thinking straight, and above all, a world calibrated to make sure people didn't stop, look, and listen for this God. It would be a world where the desire to own and consume would be suffocating, where the thrill of experience numbed the desire for the spiritual, where lesser gods challenged the one true God for our life, our soul, our all. It would be a world where people became so saturated with communication that they failed to communicate with the only one who really mattered, where people became so enamored with what they desired that they had no desire left for God, where they became so consumed with acquiring knowledge they no longer had the capacity to think about God. It would be a world of many false gods, the competing claims of whom became so overwhelming that people ceased to believe in any of them eventually. It would be a world of distraction where people literally amused themselves to death. In short, it would be a world just like ours. I read some fascinating research this week. But whatever you do, don't look at the screen and see if that picture's moving, because the research was amazing. Because some researchers in America got a bunch of people from a market and from a church, and they said, the experiment is we want to get you in a room to sit quietly for 15 minutes and just be stilled with your thoughts. Do you know what happened? The first guy came, they left the first guy in the room for 15 minutes. They had to abandon the experiment because he'd found a pen and had started to write a to-do list. The second person came in, the researcher had left his question paper on the desk. They had to stop that piece of research because he was doing origami after 5 minutes. As they went through these dozens and dozens of people, nobody could sit there quietly with their own thoughts for 15 minutes in silence. They were all failing. And the experimenters, the researchers thought this is hilarious. So what they did was they set up this test where they put an electric shock machine in the room. And they interviewed the people beforehand and said, would you like to be electric? Would you like to have an electric shock? And basically the response was no, we'd pay not to. Left alone in a room with no other distraction than electric shock machine, guess what? Now, blokes, we didn't come out too well here. 2/3 of the men stuck their finger in an electric shock machine. They would prefer the pain of an electric shock than sitting there in silence with their own thoughts. 1/4 of the women did the same. And you know what? Loads of them did it more than once after 10 minutes because they were so unsure what to do in silence for 15 minutes. The researchers, at the end of their piece, wrote this. It was apparently so averse that it drove many participants to self-administer an electric shock that they had earlier said they would want to avoid. What is striking, he said, is that simply being alone with their thoughts was for 15 minutes was apparently just too difficult. In this world, the noise you are trying not to hear is always the loudest, and God's voice is a whisper only audible to those who can be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Of course, the irony is that the rumors and the whispers of this God literally fill our lives, from the wonder of watching the sun rise to the moment of its setting, from the first cry of an infant child to the last breath of the dying, from the presence of goodness in evil situations and the defiance of love in the face of hatred, in the quiet knowing that there just has to be more than this. There is the whisper of God all around us. But those thoughts are best defeated, not by confrontation, but they're beaten by persistent and subtle distraction. In this world of the occupied territories, where people just need to be still to begin to know that there is a God, where attentive listening and looking for God is rapidly decreasing as a skill, there are, however, still some thin places, some places where the spiritual and the physical meet. Funerals are one of them, when we realize that all we spend our lives striving for all goes back in the box at the end, where most of the stuff we get het up about just doesn't matter anymore. What is this life all about anyway? Baby dedications are another thin place, another moment where the sheer wonder of new birth, of what it means to be a person, a human being, what, why, how, those questions in those moments are thin places. But the trouble is, human beings are so easily distracted, and human beings get so easily become human doings. And then finally, there's moments like today, baptisms. A day where someone you know says he knows someone you don't know. That there is a God worth knowing, and that all we can, and we can all know this God. An occasion like this is like one of these magic eye pictures. If you stare for long enough, apparently, another picture emerges out of that. Baptisms are a moment like that. When I first saw magic eye pictures, I thought they were a con, until someone I respected said, no, there is actually an eagle there. And I started to stare for a bit longer, and guess what? I saw an eagle. Baptisms are a bit like that, where we have to think about the credibility of the person who's speaking in order to see what they see. This moment, this service, is one of those occasions where in a fatally distracted world, we have a clear choice to ignore it or to explore further. What does that look like? Well, for anybody who's got any questions about faith this morning, ask Keith. He's an expert. He's read the Bible. I mean, grill him. You know, really. No, seriously. Talk to someone of faith. And don't be put off by superficial answers. We might not know them, but we know someone who will find an answer. Talk to people. Second thing to say is, as you leave this morning, for those who would like it, I wrote a book. Well, it's a book. I wrote a booklet called Making Waves, which is designed for people who come to a baptismal service and think, what the heck was that about? Please pick one up as you go. But realize, too, that we can't do this journey on our own. To live a distracted life is so, so easy. To live a God-attentive life is so, so difficult. We need the support of others. That's what church is about. But I want to remind you, as we come to pray for Keith, that this God, mysterious, majestic, and holy, and beyond our complete knowing though he is, makes a promise. Be still and know that I am God. Everything in our world is geared to conditioning us to walk out this door this morning and forget everything we've experienced. That's the way it works. Because God says, be still and know that I'm a God. And he makes another promise. He simply says to people, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Let's pray.